In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, once again, we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful, this loving conversation with you, as we consider your life and draw from it so many lessons. And today we go to the wedding feast at Cana. And St. John says, on the third day there was a marriage at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the marriage with his disciples. A wedding feast. The bridegroom has arrived with his bride, having taken her from her parents' home. And they arrive with all of that solemnity, with the bridesmaids with their lamps lit, the bride adorned with flowers, and all of that joy of a wedding feast. And St. Jose Maria comments on these popular feasts, these times of great enjoyment. He says, we should not do away with these popular feasts. We should ennoble them. Why shouldn't people be able to have fun? The world isn't a convent. For this reason, it seems good to me that people dance, that they sing, that they be happy, as long as it doesn't offend God. Lord, always let us remember that. To live in your presence, but to have fun, to enjoy ourselves, and in this case, in a wedding feast. And Tertullian comments on the beauty of Christian marriage. How can I ever express the happiness of the marriage that is joined together by the church, strengthened by an offering, sealed by a blessing, announced by angels, and ratified by the Father? How wonderful the bond between two believers with a single hope, a single desire, a single observance, a single service. They are both brethren and both fellow servants. There is no separation between them in spirit or flesh. In fact, they are truly two in one flesh. And where the flesh is one, one is the spirit. What a beautiful description of Christian marriage. And Lord, by your presence there along with your disciples and your mother, you show us the dignity, the importance of Christian marriage. And St. Jose Maria, in one of his homilies, In Christ is Passing By, comments, Christian tradition has often seen in Christ's presence at the wedding feast in Cana a proof of the value God places on marriage. Our Savior went to the wedding feast, writes St. Cyril of Alexandria, to make holy the origins of human life. And St. Jose Maria goes on, marriage is a sacrament that makes one flesh of two bodies. Theology expresses this fact in a striking way when it teaches us that the matter of the sacrament is the bodies of husband and wife. Our Lord sanctifies and blesses the mutual love of husband and wife. He foresees not only a union of souls, but a union of bodies as well. No Christian, whether or not he is called to the married state, has a right to underestimate the value of marriage. And again, Lord, by your very presence, you dignify Christian marriage. You show us its importance. and you were invited to the wedding. The curie of ours, St. John Vianney, comments, "Very few people invite Jesus Christ to their wedding. On the contrary, they seem to do all they can to keep him away." And Lord, when we look at marriage today and how few get married in a church with a mass, and so many don't get married in the church at all, they are not inviting you to their wedding. And they're going to make of their marriage just a human project. And we pray for them that they may stay together, that they may love one another, and that they may come back to you if they are Christians or Catholics. But Lord, help many to invite you to their wedding, to get married in the church before the altar, so that you give them the grace of that beautiful sacrament of matrimony. And Lord, you are there with the apostles, and Our Lady is there too. And undoubtedly, you would all be mingling amongst the guests, not you with the apostles all staying together, but mingling amongst the guests, and perhaps you knew some of them, or they were relatives of yours. After all, Cana was only some 8 kilometers from Nazareth. And you are there helping others to enjoy the feast. You are not yet known for working miracles. At Cana, you will work your first. You are just the son of Mary and Joseph, the son of the carpenter, as you were known. And then St. John continues, "When the wine failed, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.'" The wine has run out. The wedding feast for Jews lasted 7 days, and many, many people were invited. And then, to the embarrassment of the wedding couple, the wine has run out. And who notices it but Mary? She is a mother. Mothers notice these little things, and for a wedding feast, the wine running out, in a sense, was not a little thing, but a very big one. And again, St. Jose Maria comments in one of his homilies in Christ is Passing By, "Our Lady was a guest at one of those noisy country weddings attended by crowds of people from many different villages. But she was the only one who noticed the wine was running out." Don't these scenes from Christ's life seem familiar to us? The greatness of God lives at the level of ordinary things. It is natural for a woman, a housewife, to notice something was lacking, to look after the little things which make life pleasant. And that is how Mary acted. A wife, a mother notices. And Lord, when we look at your mother, who is the mother of God and our mother too, she has all of mankind as her children. And today she sees our needs, our lacks. So many things that we need that are missing in our life, Mary notices. The sickness, sometimes sickness that can lead to death. The financial constraints, the worries of so many people, the marriage problems, people that have been married for a short time or a long time and experiencing difficulties, the strained relationships within families and extended families, and above all, those spiritual issues, the lack of faith in so many people, the lack of the practice of the faith by prayer, by going to Mass, by receiving the sacraments, increasing numbers of people drifting away from God. And Mary notices, Mary cares, the immoral life of so many people. And as they drift away from you, Lord, the more they fall into sin. The lack of formation, the basic formation that people received years ago and in so many cases no longer receive. And when they don't know the truths of the faith, they find it more difficult to live them, even to understand them. And then they don't frequent the sacraments because they don't know what sin is to go to confession or the value of Mass and Holy Communion within it. And in all of these issues, Mary is there, Mary notices, and Mary feels for her children. She feels for us. And so, as St. John says, when the wine failed, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And today, Lord, Mary says to you, "They have no knowledge of you. They have so little formation. They don't practice the faith in which they were brought up. They don't pray to God. And Jesus, you love them so much, and they don't know you, and they don't pray, and they're experiencing all the difficulties in life, in their marriage, in their finances, in their relationships. And Lord, Mary is telling you all of this. She is reminding you of what you know, but she wants to ask on our behalf. And then perhaps you will do a miracle today as you did then." St. John continues, and Jesus said to her, "O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come." My time, which can be understood either as that hour that would come at Calvary when it was your hour to overcome Satan by your death on the cross, or your hour to do a miracle. It was not perhaps time for you to do that first miracle. But Mary is asking you, or better, she is simply telling you, "They have no wine." And you know what she wants. She doesn't have to ask. You know her because she's your mother. And she simply says, "They have no wine." And you know all of our needs too. We learn from this that we too should ask as Mary does. Maybe like Mary, when the wine has run out, she might think, "What can Jesus do?" But she knows you are God. The angel told her that you would be called the Son of the Most High. You are God, and God can work miracles, even if you haven't as yet worked any. And so we learn, like Mary, to ask you for what we need, even if it seems at times impossible to obtain. And Lord, you asked us to do that. And we read your words in the Gospel of St. Matthew, in the 7th chapter, in the Sermon on the Mount. "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" And Lord, help us to learn that lesson, to ask, to seek, to knock on the door. You always hear us. You always answer us. And when we say you always answer us, we don't expect that answer will be what we wanted, or when we wanted, or as we wanted. It will be what you know is best for us. You always give us good things, the best things. Lord, increase our faith. When we see our needs, that we go to you like Mary. And Mary knows too, because the angel told her, that nothing is impossible for God. When the angel told her that her aging relative Elizabeth was in her 6th month, the angel went on, "With God, nothing will be impossible." If an aging woman beyond the age of childbearing, who has been barren all her life, is now in her sixth month. Nothing is impossible for God. And Lord, help us to learn that, to believe it. If we had faith like a mustard seed, we would say to this mountain, be moved into the sea, and it would obey us. Increase our faith. Help us, like Mary, always to go to you, to tell you our needs, even if you know our needs before we ask you. By our begging you, you are more inclined to hear us and answer us. And then, Lord, you say to Mary, O woman, what have you to do with me? You give her that apparent rebuff. O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Mary simply says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And Lord, Mary says that to us. Do whatever Jesus tells you. And sometimes what you are asking us to do seems so insignificant, that we should get out of bed, that we should start that job, that we should stop and pray, that we should smile to someone, that we should do that little act of penance, that we should take care with how much we use the internet. All of these areas of life, little things each day, but they can have a transcendental importance. Even striking up a conversation with someone with whom we work, or a relative, or someone sitting next to us on a train or on an airplane, can mean the world to that person later. That we do whatever you tell us, that we do your will. This is sanctity. Saint Alphonsus Liguori says it. All of holiness consists in the love of God, and all of the love of God consists in doing his will. To love you is to do your will, is to do whatever you ask of us. And it may seem small. Why should I do this little thing? Does it really make much difference? The stewards might have asked themselves that question, but what did they do? St. John relates, now 6 stone jars were standing there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. They didn't question you. Why should we fill them with water? We need wine. People have already done the ablutions. They have washed themselves. They are clean. Filling the pots with water doesn't give us the wine we need. But they didn't question you. They did what you asked. And Lord, help us to do that. Again, no matter how insignificant, meaningless it may seem, you are asking us to do it. We will do it. And Lord, simply doing your will is sanctity. We grow in sanctity. That is the first fruit. Even if they fill those jars to the brim and you didn't change water into wine, they would have benefited, those stewards, by doing what you asked. They were obeying God. They were growing in holiness. And always we grow in holiness by doing what you ask. But then sometimes doing that has other outcomes that we weren't expecting, like the miracle that you will do to change the water into wine. And sometimes that conversation that we struck up with that person next to us has a lifelong impact on their life. We spoke to them about God, about faith, about prayer, about the sacraments, about the meaning of life. And perhaps at that time they rejected what we said, but they thought later about it. We sowed the seeds, and later they would act upon those seeds. Those seeds would grow, and that person perhaps who was distant from God would come close to him, close to you. In any case, we always, by doing your will, grow in holiness, and we store up treasure in heaven. We help to make up for our sins by those good deeds, by our little penances, by every good deed we do in the state of grace. We will be those great saints you need here on earth, those saints next door, as Pope Francis spoke of in his document on holiness in today's world, Gaudete et Exultate, the saints next door, and we have to be those saints. We are people of faith. We are people who know God, who love Him, and people will see this. And they will say, as I've heard recently, a number of people saying to good Catholics, I want what you have. They saw the joy, the faith, the assurance of people with God in their life, and they said, I want what you have. And Lord, help us to be those people that others can come to with all of their problems, and we can help them. They want what we have. They want the faith that we have. And then those stewards, having filled the 6 water pots, holding between 20 and 30 gallons, something like 100 liters each, Lord, you then work that miracle. And you said, now draw some out and take it to the steward of the feast. So they took it. When the steward of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. And Lord, you have changed water into wine, but not only into wine, into the best wine. As that chief steward says, others serve the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine, and they won't know the difference. But you have kept the good wine until now. And St. Jose Maria had that phrase that he liked, sooner, more, better. And how well it applies to what you did at Cana, Lord. You gave them wine sooner. Without your intervention, there wouldn't have been that replenishment of the wine. It came sooner. There was more. 6 stone water jars full, 600 or more liters, and it was the best wine. Sooner, more, better. Oh Lord, when we go to you, that is what you do for us too. You give us the best things sooner, more, and better. And always that best result is our own sanctity, as we have said, and with sanctity, happiness. St. Jose Maria said that too. Do you want to be happy? Be holy. More happy, more holy. Extremely happy, extremely holy. Yes, we want to be happy, and we will be happy to the extent that we have you in our life. And there's a good reason for that. Happiness is that passion, that emotion that comes when we possess a good. And that good might be something as small as reading a good book, having a good meal, having a good conversation, a good holiday. And when we have these goods, we always find joy. But that joy we have here on earth with these limited goods is never supreme, and it doesn't last for a long time. It comes and goes, and that's a good thing. It's a foretaste of heaven. But Lord, if we want to be extremely happy, then we must seek the greatest good, and you are the greatest good. You are God, infinite good. You are love. And when we come closer to you, we have that greatest joy. And when we get to heaven, we will have what the Catechism calls that supreme, definitive happiness. Supreme, greater than any happiness we can have on earth, because it comes in possessing God, or in better, in God possessing us. And it is definitive. It is forever. In heaven, the joy will never end. It will last forever. But we experience it here on earth too. The closer we are to you here on earth, the happier we are, with that deep happiness, that deep joy of knowing we are children of God, that God is in our soul, that God loves us, that we have a place waiting for us in heaven, that we have all the means to stay on the road that leads to heaven. The greatest possible joy comes in having you. We grow in holiness and we help so many others, even if it's just by a smile, by a helping hand, by a deed of kindness. And others benefit so much by our presence because, Lord, we bring you to them. We become those other Christs, or as St. Jose Maria would say, not just other Christs, the alter Christus, but ipse Christus. We are Christ himself. And we are. By baptism, we are baptized into your mystical body. We are a member of your body. And if we are a member of your body, we are you. We are Christ himself as members of your mystical body. So that we bring you to others by our own smile, our kindness, our kind deed, our generosity. And as that rite of dismissal at the end of Mass says, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Lord, help us to take that to heart, that when we leave Mass with you still in our soul, in our body, we are temples of the Blessed Trinity, that we go out and bear witness to you, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life, that we glorify you and people see the difference in us. We bring you to them. We bring joy to them too. And St. John concludes, this, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This was your first miracle. You manifested your glory. You showed people that you were God. And the disciples believed in you, and perhaps others did too. Lord, help us to believe in you, to know that you love us, that you are there, that you can work miracles today as you did at Cana, that you can do the impossible. Nothing is impossible for God. That in our life, whatever our needs might be, or those of the people around us in our families, extended families, or friends, or colleagues of work, nothing is impossible for you. Increase our faith, that others can come to believe in you through us when they see our faith, when they tell us their problems, and we say, trust in God, or I will pray for you. God loves you. God can answer your prayer. And they come to believe through us when they see our faith. And we go to Our Lady. Mary, it was because you were there at Cana, because you told Jesus they have no wine. And it was a way of simply insisting to him without the need for words that it was time for him to work his first miracle. Increase our faith. Help us to believe that Jesus can work miracles today as you did. Help us to learn to pray as you did, going to Jesus, telling him the need, that we go to him for all of our needs, great and small. Ask and you shall receive, he tells us. And then to learn to do his will, to do whatever he asks us, as those servants did at the wedding feast, and they did something apparently of little importance, to fill water jars with water. But he changed it into wine, and he will change our obedience to him, our docility to his will, into that good wine of holiness and so many other blessings. Mary, help us to learn to have faith, to pray, to do the will of God as you did, and then Jesus can work many miracles today too. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.